You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. It is that time once again. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. This is episode 35. What is it, February 20th? Yeah. Well, it's when I record this. I'm doing this later and later in the afternoon. This may start being done on Thursday. It's not. I've got to work on Thursday mornings. So Thursday afternoons, too. So I don't know. I'll try to keep this at late afternoon when I put this together and put it on online for you. So we're in the middle of my the four-part series, The Four Agreements with Expletives. And the first one that I did was the most downloaded episode of any podcast episode I've done. But then the second one, the one I did last week, was just like all the others. Now, it just went right back. So I'm wondering, first I thought, well, maybe people are, this is a sign that people want me to bring a topic of something to discuss and really get to the meat of and explain, you know, my point of view on some self-help thing. And no, I think people were just searching for four agreements, and some randos just kind of stumbled across the podcast for, you know, thinking, oh, if this guy will help me. Maybe has some thoughts that could add to the four agreements and the concepts that I'm a fan of. And I did not. I mean, maybe I did, but, for whatever reason, we've been up and down with the downloads, and that's fine. You know, this is not TV and the ratings. I'm not going to get canceled. I produce this myself. So, I wanted to bring this up real quick, and because it's infuriating to the whole Trump wall thing is just infuriating. And it's infuriating from a different point of view because of how ridiculous it is. Just because, you know, it's the idea of fighting one specific thing irritates me personally, which is the idea that this is how we fight drugs is by putting up a wall, which is just you're underestimating the cleverness of drug users and drug smugglers and drug dealers. And you shouldn't do that. You know, that's why the war on drugs has been a losing battle. Also, it's because but that's the whole thing, is they're not addressing the real issue. They're going after the drug as opposed to why people do drugs. As I've mentioned before on this, I think it's a lack of understanding of drug addiction. You know, the idea that heroin is the reason that heroin addicts became junkies, it's the drug itself. Like, if you're walking down the street and somebody runs up and for some reason hits you with a heroin needle, aha! You know, injection drive-by, like some kind of weird fear that some people have. And oh, great, now I'm addicted to heroin. You know, it doesn't fucking work that way. It really doesn't. You have to be into downers, first of all, because if you're not into downers and you do heroin, like let's say you're more of an upper person and you do heroin, well, it's going to make you throw up. And you're like, no, I wasn't into it. And you're not going to do it again if you didn't enjoy it. It's not like, man, I fucking hate this shit so bad. well, I got to go buy some more of it because it's such an addictive substance. I mean, the substance, yeah, it's an addictive substance, but I mean, there are people that try a cigarette, cough, throw up, and then you start smoking. It's because nicotine is addictive. It's so fighting the actual drug is dumb. It's just also this, you know, just building a wall is ineffective. But let's say it was effective. It's not going to keep people from doing drugs. So that's the one thing. And it bugs me that the only out of all the presidential candidates already that were, you know, and I don't, and I'm not really paying attention, but I saw this. There's only been one. Only Elizabeth Warren has said anything about it. And this is not an endorsement because I'm not endorsing shit. But the thing is that, at, you know, she's the only one that's brought forth what was called the CARE Act, which was the Comprehensive Addiction Resources Emergency Act last year. And I need to look because we haven't heard anything. So it probably didn't get because it's asking for way more money than people are comfortable with. But it's like $10 billion a year for like 10 years. We're basically providing money to especially the cities that are hit the hardest by addiction. But money for treatment, for harm reduction services, and for prevention programs. Because that's what, I mean, if you're going to do stuff, if you really want to fight the opioid crisis, then you got to fight it from that point. You know, you can't get rid of them because then you're screwing over people who aren't addicted to painkillers but need them because they're going through pain, but they're not abusing them because there are those people. So it's just... No, it's just fucked up, man. It's and the, you know, it's, this is my favorite part of the, because it's fear. I know why you want a wall. It's fear, and I get it. I mean, it you know what? It would benefit. It's not like there's no benefit. I get it. But here's the thing that's, you know, shooting down programs. Instead of using the funding for personnel and for like surveillance, but instead, you know, it's the wall. Like the wall's gonna do it. And the thing is that people that are blindly supporting President Jackass is the thing. What's great about it is to me, what's funny is the people that blindly support it and they're like, yeah. The wall, motherfucker! Those people own guns. I like guns. I don't own one, but I like them. But the thing about it is that if what you think is true, which is that the wall should work, then why do you own guns for protection when you have a gate and a fence on your house and locks? Is that not enough? It's the same concept. So you're saying you need something extra other than just a fence? You think a fence alone, you might also need some protection? So you're saying you need additional resources for personal protection because everyone's out to get you, motherfucker? I don't know. I'm just saying. That doesn't make any sense. It's not consistent. Is it? It is not. All right. That's enough of that. But it's dumb. I'm just saying. We've heard almost nothing from this administration about helping drug addicts and the opioid crisis, you know, fentanyl, meth, the meth crisis that's not getting any press, but is happening. All this shit's happening. More people are dying of that. But, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, it's a beautiful day. Yeah. Happy time. Well, I mean, I can let me say something light, I guess. Light? I'll change the subject just real quick. Don't you think it's strange that there are people, there are guys who treat Pornhub like it's a social media network? Like, they have usernames, they rate videos, they comment on videos, they have message boards, threads, comments. Basically, they treat Pornhub like Facebook. Can you imagine being so comfortable in your pornography that you go, you know what? I'd like to give my input. I'd like to talk to someone else who also is masturbating to this, who likes things that I do, and we could share and discuss the pros and cons of how that scene played out. Maybe we could discuss other things in life, and I could meet a new friend. That's weird. It's weird. To each his own, I guess, but God damn. I was thinking about this. I had a show yesterday at Package Menswear here in Austin, which is a boutique clothing and sex toys for men and for gay men, but also not just gay men. I mean, there's like bondage stuff and everything else. And and it was funny because ever since I stopped drinking and doing drugs, like doing comedy again, I pace like a motherfucker. I am all over the place. I'm just walking around till I go up, and then I even pace afterwards. I'm just kind of in the back and I just kind of walking around. But when I do it there, it looks like I'm like my dad. I'm just uncomfortable. I'm just like, oh, don't look at the penis stuff. Oh, with plastic dicks. Like I'm like, this doesn't look like look like I'm really uncomfortable. And I wasn't. I mean, I was uncomfortable, but just regular anxiety, restlessness shit. Had nothing to do with the dildos and butt plugs. That was just background scenery. So, let's go from butt plugs to the four agreements. It's what we call a flawless segue. All right, so the four agreements. The third agreement in our series is don't make assumptions. And this is a big one. They're all kind of big ones, but we make assumptions about everything. It's how we live. And and the hardest part for me when it comes to making assumptions about something is that because you can make like educated judgments based on experience and on insight and observation, but a lot of times, you know, there's a fine line between that and when you're just assuming the way that, oh, that's got to be, you know. Obviously, that person riding a scooter has no taste or sense and is a selfish person. That's just an example from my personal repertoire of assumptions when I see somebody on a scooter. Obviously, that person's a douchebag. That's an assumption. Maybe that person has just figured out that that's the cheapest way to go and didn't already, you know, and they didn't take a stand on scooters early on and they're committing to it instead of giving it a shot. I don't know. But anyway, fucking scooters, man. But that's the thing. The biggest problem about the assumptions is not not so much the judgment, like making the judgment and going, oh, I think it's this. It's that when you make an assumption, you basically automatically believe it to be true. You just go, oh, I think it's that, and then you just leave it there about somebody because of what somebody did or said or And you immediately, you know, you just like, no, that's the way it is. And, you know, because it's always like somebody does something or they say something and we take it personally. The second agreement. We take it personally. And then so then we make an assumption about it. And then sometimes it pisses us off. And so then we vent about it to somebody else. So we gossip about it, which brings us back to the first agreement. Being impeccable with your word. It's all connected. Boom. But the big thing about it is that we make the assumptions because we don't investigate and ask questions because we're cowards. We're afraid to ask questions or for clarification about something. So then we just assume. And that's really the thing about it is that as we go through life, we have just tons and tons of questions that go on about things that we don't understand and just the things that happen as they go. And we don't have the time or don't make the time or are afraid to ask questions about it and to find out, you know, to investigate, to find clarification. So we make the assumption to kind of answer the questions because that's the easiest way to do it, is just to assume the answer instead of having the courage to ask. So we answer the question with our assumption, and we answer it because we don't need a correct answer. We just need the question to be answered at all to feel safe. And then that allows us to kind of our mind to ease instead of that, you know, we're afraid to have unanswered questions. And so basically the way you fight making assumptions all the time is just clear communication. And that reminds me. And so there's a couple paragraphs in the book. I normally would just explain stuff and ramble, but I just wanted to read this because it was well put from that chapter about the third agreement from the book, The Four Agreements. Anyway, these assumptions are made so fast and unconsciously most of the time because we have agreements to communicate this way. We have agreed that it is not safe to ask questions. We have agreed that if people love us, they should know what we want or how we feel. When we believe something, we assume we are right about it to the point that we will destroy relationships in order to defend our position. We make the assumption that everyone sees life the way we do. We assume that others think the way we think, feel the way we feel, judge the way we judge, and abuse the way we abuse. This is the biggest assumptions that humans make. And this is why we have a fear of being ourselves around others, because we think everyone else will judge us, victimize us, abuse us, and blame us as we do ourselves. So even before others have a chance to reject us, we have already rejected ourselves. This is the way the human mind works. Boom! Damn, that's good. So yeah. And this is why shit goes down online on Twitter and on Facebook all the time. This is because people assume somebody's coming from a certain point. They read it and they take it a certain way. People don't want to investigate it. They don't. They just assume that everybody feels the way they do about certain issues. And it's just easier to judge people and to make an assumption about somebody than it is to actually talk to them. So we should stop that. We should do a lot of things, but that's really, I mean, that's just another issue that we have. So that's the deal, is clear communication and asking questions, asking clarification, or, you know, if you don't want to ask clarification, then fucking let it go. Then maybe you don't answer that question. Maybe you don't make the assumption about it. Because, you know, our beliefs are fucking killing us. They're making us miserable, is being stuck in a belief. instead of being, instead of what's correct, instead of what's true, we just, you know, we just cling to our ideology and who, you know, what we wish was the truth, even though it may not be the truth. So don't make assumptions, everybody. I mean, how dope would that be to not be walk around in fear of what people think, because and just being honest with what everything that you say, you're impeccable with your word, you're not talking shit behind people's back, you're being straightforward, you're not taking things personally. Because, you know, everybody's dealing with their own shit. So anything projected to you doesn't have anything to do about you. So you don't have to apologize for things you didn't do because it's not about you. So you just the relief that you would have. And then also not making assumptions about everybody. Because if you're really curious, you have the balls to ask about stuff. I know, but it's, yeah, so there are things to shoot for. I mean, nobody's perfect. And we all do, you know, the exact opposite of all three of those agreements, obviously. But it's something something to aspire to and to work on and to be aware of. Just the awareness of it allows you to better yourself. Just being aware of things makes things better. Just where you're not so focused on you that you're not paying attention to the world around you. And but that's next week. We'll deal with the fourth agreement, wrap it up, and all that. So thank you guys for joining me this week. This has been, yes, I'm still sober. And later.